Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beat. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Opening statements are expected to begin next week in former President Donald Trump's criminal trial in New York for hush money payments. More on that shortly, but first, New York City police are investigating an incident in which a man walked into a park outside the courthouse and set himself on fire. In a press conference a short time ago, authorities identified the man as Maxwell Azzarello, a 37-year-old from St. Augustine, Florida. They say he's hospitalized in critical condition. Police say the man appeared to espouse conspiracy theories. They told reporters there's no evidence so far to suggest the man's actions had anything to do with Trump or any other particular person. But Police Chief Jeffrey Madry said security itself will come under review.
We're going to review our security protocols. This gentleman did not breach the security protocols. The park was open to the public. But of course, we're going to look at everything, and with the magnitude of what's going on around right here, we'll reassess our security with our federal partners.
Returning inside the court building, NPR's Jimena Bustillo has been covering Trump's trial. She says a full jury panel is now seated.
12 jurors and 6 alternates were selected out of about 300 potential jurors. The jurors come from all over Manhattan and will be deciding whether or not to unanimously convict the former president of 34 felony counts related to payments made to an adult film star. All have vowed that they can be fair and impartial, despite their differing opinions on Trump. Opening statements are set to begin on Monday, and the trial is expected to last 6 weeks.
That's NPR's Jimena Bustillo reporting. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg says more air defense weapons will soon be headed to Ukraine. From Brussels, Terry Schultz reports the additional pledges came after Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky asked NATO to hold an urgent meeting.
After a virtual meeting of the NATO-Ukraine Council, that means all 32 allies plus Ukraine, Secretary General Stoltenberg tells Kyiv that help is on the way.
NATO has mapped out existing capabilities across the alliance, and there are systems that can be made available. So expect new announcements on air defense capabilities for Ukraine soon.
Stoltenberg also says he expects there to be no restrictions placed on the weapons NATO members provide Ukraine for its self-defense.
That includes also striking legitimate military targets outside Ukraine.
This has been a sensitive issue for some NATO governments in the past. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
A $95 billion foreign aid package for Israel, Ukraine, and other security priorities is heading for a final vote this weekend. House Speaker Mike Johnson saw a series of bills clear a procedural hurdle today. From Washington, this is NPR News. Grammy-winning Christian singer Mandisa has died. Her death at the age of 47 was announced on her official social media accounts. A cause of death has not yet been reported. Mandisa was also a contender on American Idol. NPR's Elizabeth Blair has this appreciation.
With this audition in 2005, Mandisa became a contender and finalist on season 5 of American Idol.
I keep on falling.
Mandisa grew up in Sacramento, California. She moved to Nashville to pursue a music career. Her 2013 album, Overcomer, won a Grammy and reached the top of the Billboard Christian Albums chart.
Staring at a stop sign, watching people drive by, T-Mac on the radio.
According to the Franklin Police Department, her body was discovered in her home on Thursday evening. Detectives have opened an investigation into her death. Elizabeth Blair, NPR News.
Today is the last day for workers at a Volkswagen plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee, to vote on whether they want to join the United Auto Workers. A win would be a big deal for the union, which recently scored victories in agreements with Detroit's Big Three automakers. It's hoping to expand its presence in the South. However, state and local officials warn unionizing the VW plant in Tennessee could deter new business investments and costs the region jobs. This is NPR News.
Listen to this podcast sponsor-free on Amazon Music with a Prime membership or any podcast app by subscribing to NPR News Now Plus at plus.npr.org. That's plus.npr.org.